Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
Welcome to episode 3.
Yay.
Of We Are the Watchers.
We made it.
We are now third time lucky.
Oh, is this is the last in the trilogy?
It is.
But are we going to do a prequel next week?
Yeah, we're doing a prequel and then we'll just start doing different sort of offshoots.
Will we call that episode 1?
We
or
will
the Phantom Menace?
No, we'll call it We Will Be the Watchers.
Do not call it the Phantom Menace. You do, you're fucking Jar Jar.
Come on. No, I'm not even going to try and impersonate.
Can you be Boss Nass though?
Anyone but Jar Jar. I'll be anything you want to be.
Give us some Boss Nass. Very good.
That was good.
That was very good. Very Brian Blessed.
Do you have a headache now?
A little bit.
Whiplash too.
Wow. Ouch. I think I put my neck out.
This is a question I wanted to ask. How much Star Wars is actually too much? Because I know that you want to say not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But they're throwing and will be throwing a lot of Star Wars at us over the next however many years.
I'm happy to say once a year is enough for me. A new film a year is a nice amount.
Once a year is good. And I mean, that's much better than when we were kids as well, because it was a film every 4 years.
Every
3 years. And that was fucking hard, man. And there was nothing in between. You know, you got that holiday special with, you know, the CBS put on, which was a laughable joke. We entertained ourselves, and actually I have up there the original vinyl of Return of the Jedi. So you get little tidbits like this that had come out and you could listen to in between movies. But once every 3 years, it killed me. Once every 12 months, this is good.
They were already all out by the time I was born. Like the original trilogy.
So you just...
So I sat down with my dad one weekend and mainlined him when I was about
4 months old.
Yeah. He showed me Jaws when I was 3.
Wow.
That's why I don't go to the beach.
That explains a lot.
Jeez,
Tom's dad. How disgusting.
Nah, my dad has very good taste in film and ensured that I saw some classic stuff growing up. But yeah, we sat down and we watched all 3 Star Wars in one weekend.
That would have been great just to binge Star Wars for the first time.
It was fantastic and it got me really, really into it. Yeah, it wasn't until the prequel trilogy came along that I had to deal with this waiting for more Star Wars, and I wasn't particularly fussed about waiting for more of them.
No.
Now, this is pod racing.
But before...
What felt like an hour.
I think, yeah, sure did, didn't it? But I think what George did, I think George overdid it just a little bit too much with the Star Wars thing, and it was becoming a bit much when they rehashed the Star Wars and they put the new digital bits in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to meet Jabba the Hutt, and then there was Han stepping on his tail and stuff like that. It was great to go back and see
it. Was it called a dewlap? The thing that they put in that the stormtroopers were riding in the back of Tatooine?
I don't know what the name of that thing was.
I think it was a dewlap.
I'm sure
the same name for a dangly jowl. It's a bit of a dewlap, I think, in frogs or something, amphibians.
Oh, okay. I'm sure they do really big poos.
Right.
Can you imagine how big the poos are?
A
Labrador on steroids.
Is that a rock or...
Or a dewlap.
Is that a sand dune or a dewlap poo?
Mm.
If you do know what we're trying to talk about, get in contact with us.
Please do.
Facebook. We are the Watchers. But another thing I was sort of alluding to with the whole Star Wars too much is... We've got games coming out.
Yeah.
Whether we get another one of these Battlefronts, I don't know.
I hope not.
But there is talk of another one, which I think, is it Respawn who might be in charge of it? I don't know.
So there was a company that was developing a single player storyline that was probably to do with mercenaries and rogues, or as basically you've got the Empire and the Alliance and the other faction in games and stuff is referred to as scum and villainy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a good name.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be playing in that grey moral area, which sounds like a fascinating
game. I would love that. And can we just say that there was an Uncharted factor in it too, because the head writer of Uncharted 2, possibly 3, was in charge of this game. Well, had been brought in to re-sort of shape this game, and apparently I don't know how big a mess it was, but I would... like it. But it is going to change into something else. Someone else is in charge of it now. It's not Visceral. It's someone else. I don't know if it's Respawn or not.
I think it's a company more open to microtransactions.
Yes. A game that people keep going back to.
Because you have to with your credit card.
Is what it was. But do we have other shows coming up? I mean, is there suddenly going to be the point where people go, I can't. It's like...
A little bit of background on stuff. So they announced that they would be doing the trilogy that we're halfway through now and that each year we'd be getting a standalone film. And in that initial batch of standalone films that they were talking about, there was mention of a Yoda and there was mention of a Boba Fett and there was mention of an Obi-Wan film. There's still a lot of talk around the Obi-Wan film, which may come 2 years from now, which would, you know, next year we'll get Solo, which is the Han Solo film. Yep. And then we'll get the third film in the trilogy. And then the year after that was when we were expecting to probably get the Obi-Wan film. But now they've announced that Rian Johnson, who directed the upcoming Last Jedi, he is currently writing a new trilogy that is to possibly have nothing to do with Jedis at all. It's nothing to do with the Skywalker clan. It's going to be in a different part of the universe. And it feels like they've quietly settled down on the standalone films. Because Rogue One did well, but the behind-the-scenes stuff that happened with that cost them so much money to do reshoots.
There was a lot of reshoots, yeah.
And, you know, they lost the director, well, the pair of directors for the Solo film, which were a pair of comedy guys.
Ron Howard?
Yes, Ron Howard's directing now. He took over from Phil and Lord. Chris Miller and Phil Lord, the two guys that are behind The Last Man on Earth. They did the Lego movie. They're known for improv comedy. And they shot Solo basically as an improv comedy. And Disney went, whoa, 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 you're not fitting within the shared universe that is Lucasfilm.
It was too different.
It was very, very much too different. So between that and the issues that happened on Rogue One and stuff like that, I think they're pulling back from doing the standalone films. I'm going to focus on that because Disney in 2019 are launching their own version of Netflix, their own streaming thing, which calls into question what happens with the Marvel Netflix shows, your Punishers, Daredevils, that sort of stuff. But they're going to be doing a bunch of shows themselves on this platform and they're promising to put out billions of dollars worth of content each year. And one of those shows is a live action Star Wars show. That's all that they've mentioned that is going to be happening with it. That's huge.
It is huge. I guess it's like a Clone Wars, the animated series, but
look,
real
I could
life
see
version.
Them doing that. I could see them doing my favorite books in the old expanded universe Star Wars stories were the Tales from the, and they had different settings. So they had Tales from Jabba's Palace, Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, all these key locations, and the characters you'd see in the background. They went and fleshed them out.
Nice.
So that's where you know about, you know, the doctor that got his arm cut off by Luke, what his backstory was and all this sort of stuff. I could see them doing a really cool anthology series following characters within that. I would love to see an episode of Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes on tour.
Yes. You know everybody would. Everybody wants that.
Bit of Greedo.
Yeah.
Backstory on Greedo would be good.
Let's see. Well, we know a bit of backstory because he was the one giving Anakin grief at the pod racing. That was little Greedo.
Oh, was that baby Greedo?
Yeah.
Was it really?
I believe
I thought
so.
It was one of his cousins maybe, but
I've always assumed
one of his
it was Greedo.
It was Greedo. Let's just live with that.
Because we are not going back and watching it.
Are they called Rodians? Or am I crossing my trek and...
You trekking through a different territory.
I might be crossing my trek and my...
What's he called?
Rodian. R-O-D-I-A-N.
He was a Rodian. Greedo was a male Rodian bounty hunter.
That is a fucking 22-year-old pull.
Nice. And he grew up on Tatooine in Mos Espa.
Is that near West Espa?
It's near Campbelltown, I think.
All right, okay.
I was going to go to Tashi Station and pick up some power converters.
Stop whining.
Annoying.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
There is a whole entire podcast about this if you go to the Oz Walking Dead podcast and check it out. But we'll just do a quick sort of recap of what happened in this week's episode of The Walking Dead. There was...
Shameless self-promotion.
Absolutely. You have to, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of Eugene.
My boy got some love.
Mm-hmm.
He got a bottle of red wine.
Yeah, and he got attention.
That's right.
He got some props from
He
Negan.
Did, which yeah. Ash wanted badly.
Yeah, and he also caught some bulimia, it appears.
I always get worried when people start to drink on that show because, you don't have your wits about you.
No,
you don't. I'm not drinking a whole bottle of red wine in a zombie apocalypse.
I don't think that was his plan either, because he was having little tiny shots. He was having like a little snifter of port.
Yeah.
I'll just have a little sip here and there. But then he's like, no, fuck this. Drink it and then.
I have been ingesting, well, approximately 150 ml per evening to help me with the sleep.
The saviors are in big trouble. They've not only got a sea of walkers at their door. Well, their whole building, but they've got, otherwise known as Daryl on his way in a truck.
Yeah.
And they're down an iPod that still had battery.
Yeah, absolutely, and a whole heap of great songs.
Well, I don't know about being great.
Oh, there would have been some tunes on that fucking thing, man.
YouTube, U2 album for sure.
That was the free one.
Yeah, the free one. It was like the one that no one wanted that everyone got.
But wasn't that in like 2012?
It was. I think that was about a... No, it would have been an earlier model iPod. That was
that iPod was old.
Mid-noughties.
Yeah,
I think that was a fourth generation iPod.
Because
it still had the... Yeah,
you two made it onto iPods whether you wanted them fucking there or not. It was just like, boom, have it.
Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me. Best song on the Batman soundtrack.
Lemon.
And that's including Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Ooh,
it's
really?
Got some great prints on there. Yeah, Batman Forever. With,
yeah, but do you think it outdid Seal?
Yes.
Which song is still getting played almost every single day on easy listening stations?
Which song had a Weird Al cover?
Really?
Yeah, here we go. One moment, folks. Let me introduce you to the Weird Al version of Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
Listening to the music.
Not music. Muzak.
There is no way that Eugene is not a Weird Al fan.
Oh, he'd have to be.
110%. He would be loving that, especially because every album Weird Al does a poker medley where he covers pop songs and things at the top time.
In poker? Yeah. Absolute polka, I mean. Absolutely. Listening to that made me cast my mind back to when we first saw the character Jesus on The Walking Dead, which would have been 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Rick... And I think Daryl, they they had a truck. It was full of toothpaste and other stuff like that, and then it all went into a lake. I don't think they ever went back and got that. So people would have a bit of trouble with dental hygiene at this point in time.
They've just been, they're doing a good job. They're putting the fluoride back in the water.
Good. They thought about it. If only I'd thought about that, then I wouldn't have had that ponder just then.
If only Mrs. Marsh.
Pond.
If only... If only Mrs. Marsh was there.
Was she the lady that used to put dye on chalk
like
and then
ink
crack
gets
it in
into
half?
This chalk?
Yeah.
Marsh.
What's her name?
Oh, it all ties together. Mrs. Marsh.
This is getting freaky now. You were minor.
Minock.
Oh, fair enough.
Minock. Chewing on a power cable.
Got to watch out for Minocks.
I'm very careful of them now.
They get in everything. I'm almost as worried about them as I am fucking Porgs.
Porgs, oh yeah.
I'm nervous about these Porgs. Sorry to bring it back to Star Wars again, but I'm nervous about these fucking Porgs.
It's like a little gerbil.
Rat birds.
It's like someone has fed Chewbacca after midnight and these little things have just popped out of his back.
Do you see them doing anything in the movie apart from just that?
Oh, one
so
of them
they can sell them.
110% willing to put money on it. At some point we will see one balance on BB-8. Just for the potential of selling toys. One of them things is going to fucking balance on it.
Tom is on to something 100%.
Like a little circus act.
Yep.
Brilliant, like the rolling logs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Love it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I am up to date with The Good Place.
Oh, good, good.
Up to date, finished on a nice little cliffhanger there, wondering what's going on. It's a really fun show. We've spoken about it before, Ash. Yeah. You definitely need to watch. It's just on Netflix. It's got Ted Danson.
Going to have to do it now that I've finished Stranger Things, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes, we will. We will. But so I was also looking for a different show along the same lines, perhaps just something easy that you can watch, only about half an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that there was a show called Easy, and I thought, I feel like I've seen Rings a Bell. Mm. And I pressed play and it said, do you want to start on season to episode one? Well, I've obviously seen the first one. I remembered it. It was, I can't remember how many episodes. Let's say there's about eight of them. And each episode is a completely different story, different people in it. Mm. But there's like a small, tiny little link and tie between them.
Sure.
So you may even just see somebody from last week's episode come in and get a coffee at a cafe where mm-hmm. two characters are. This one seems to be different at this point in time. It's got the super tall guy from Veep. It's got...
Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah's
Fuck,
in
I
it.
I love him.
I didn't recognise him at first. He sure. looks really different. It's got... Oh, she was in Parks and Recreation and Legion, Aubrey...
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza is in it. And it's about this little street that they get on really well. It's out in the suburbs. They have street parties and everything. They look out for each other. And someone didn't get a package delivered, but they did.
Mm.
And then they find out that there's somebody going around stealing packages from people's front doors. So they get a bit of a vigilante going, almost like The Simpsons, you know, with the pitchforks yep. and everything. And it gets so completely blown out of proportion. It's half an hour. I know the next episode I watch is going to be a completely different storyline. I recommend it.
Awesome.
Just,
okay.
just something to chill.
You got in trouble for that, didn't you, Ash? Going around grabbing people's packages?
Oh, it was you.
Thanks for bringing that up, Tom, especially in this public forum.
Just helping you get a grip, buddy. You got to tackle it one day.
You're a handful at times. You realize that?
Sorry, I shafted you.
Got any more?
You got balls.
I do.
I'll tell you that.
He's testiculing me.
You hit the hammer on the head right there.
Oh, hammer. That was a fly comment.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've got no pants on.
Tom, last week you said you were going to watch a whole heap of great shows that were coming out. How was Arrow?
It was so good!
Yeah?
So for 1 week only, they moved Arrow to Monday night and it followed directly behind Supergirl. And the next night they had Flash followed directly by DC Legends of Tomorrow. So essentially you had 4 hours of television or two movies on TV. It was everything I wanted it to be. It was what Justice League hoped to be.
Mm.
It was a very unique kind of crossover because generally when you've seen crossovers in the past, it's been the show as it normally is with some extra characters and then swapped over. But this one, they did away with all of that and it was called Crisis on Earth X, each episode, part one, part two, part three.
Nice.
So it checked in with your regular characters across all of the shows. So someone who's a C-grade character on Supergirl would pop up during Flash.
Yep.
And things like that. It was really well done. You know, they were... Everyone was coming together across these alternate Earths for the Flash's wedding. And at the wedding, they were attacked by Nazis from Earth X and then had, no joke, about 15 or 16 superheroes on screen battling inside a church.
Oh, this is making me want to watch it.
It was, you could watch it without seeing any of the other episodes and you'd still really enjoy it. But they had, think back to the first time you saw Avengers and there's that 20-minute battle scene in New York at the end and it swings around and you keep having the interaction. So Iron Man blasts the repulsor ray and Cap, you know, ricochets it with his shield and all those little interactions.
Mm.
That's what this show did so well of teaming up the powers. So there's a character named Cisco. He can create breaches.
Wasn't he a rapper?
Ooh.
Didn't he sing a song about thongs?
Oh, that's a different spelling of Cisco.
Right.
Yes. He can open teleportation holes, basically.
Nice.
And at one point, the evil Dark Arrow, who is the Fuhrer, so our main character on Arrow is actually Hitler in this other universe. He's about to shoot someone with the arrow. And so the teleporting guy opens a teleportation thing so the good arrow can jump through and shoot an arrow into Bad Arrow's back. And just really clever combinations.
Timing.
If you love superhero stuff at all, you have to do yourself the favor and watch this.
Now, Tom, you said it was like watching two separate movies.
Yes.
Was the filming, was the production, did it feel movie?
It felt bigger
quality?
Than usual. I have a feeling that they pulled the budget for all those episodes. And most of those shows have done a bottle episode recently, so they could save a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the very first episode starts with the Flash battling. There's a guy that we see once a season named King Shark, and he's a shark man. He's an 11-foot-tall hulking shark monster.
My kind
is
of
he
guy.
A hammerhead?
No, he's a great white shark.
Brilliant.
But
and he plays golf.
he and Flash, they regularly fight. And one of the big tricks is that King Shark will jump into the ocean and try swimming away and Flash runs across the water. So this was the episode started with Flash fighting King Shark just as a throwaway thing for 30 seconds. And when it starts that strong, you know you're in for a lot of comic book stuff. They introduced characters from different universes that we haven't seen before that'll pop up again later.
Nice.
There was a major, major character death, like one of the leads of one of the shows.
You predicted that last week.
Very much predicted.
Did you predict, I mean, we're not going to say who it was, but in your mind, were you thinking it may have been that person?
Yes, because they'd been sort of telegraphing for a bit that something would happen, and then they did a big swerve of they made it seem that he got away safe, and then instead this person died very heroically saving the universe.
Right.
There was both gay and lesbian relationships.
Okay.
So, and there were no females being damsels in distress.
This sounds really good.
Even the computer tech cool girls stuff. Got to kick a lot of ass. They that one of the episodes, they were stuck in the rafters and basically doing Die Hard. All this sort of stuff. Just fantastic fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm really pleased to hear that you enjoyed that to the level that you did. Isn't it amazing? And how good is it that that a platform like Netflix can deliver such a quality program like that that gets
that's
someone...
That's not Netflix, bro. That's CW. That's like main channels in the States.
Okay. All right. But it was on Netflix out here in...
It will be on Netflix eventually. I think over here they're showing it on... Fox 8.
Right.
Potentially or something like that.
But isn't that good? You didn't have to go to the movies, pay $6 for a fucking bottle of water and, hock a kidney to get a box of popcorn. And this is delivered on TV. And isn't it funny how they can do that yet get Justice League so wrong?
Yeah. Well, part of it is, again, taking it back to Avengers, they'd spent 4 or 5 years building up those characters beforehand and you got to know them and you knew their relationships separately. So seeing them together, there was a huge sense of fun.
Mm.
And we've seen a lot of these characters cross over on the shows before, but having them do it on such an epic scale against such a clear evil in a way that was very timely... And then pulling in all, the relationship stuff, which some people may find a little bit heavy-handed, but it's very cool to see representation on that, like that on mainstream television.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Amazing.
Look, the death made me cry. It was that well handled.
Mm.
I'm not secret about it. I don't mind a bit of a TV cry or movie cry.
You get into it, just means really you're invested. Yeah.
But I walked away like beaming. Woke my missus up to tell her how good it was.
Oh, that's great. And I'm sure she appreciated that.
She was happy for me.
Yeah.
Because this is an annual thing. The crossover rolls around and she knows for that week I'm going to be a little bit giddy. And it just, this one delivered more so than what I was hoping last year's one to.
Yay. I'm glad that
that's really
worked out for you.
Yeah,
it really did.
Good.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Ash, you said you mentioned just before you finished Stranger Things. Man, I have to watch episode 5. I'm probably going to try and get to it today.
Yeah, well, once you do episode 5, the rest are just going to have to roll out. It has to happen. So you've done 3 and 4.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you like episode 7?
Did you binge it? Did you binge it so you don't know what you saw?
Started and I just didn't stop.
I think there's 8.
But I think there's
was
eight.
There one that really stood out a bit like a sore thumb?
No, that was 3 and 4 that did it for me.
Okay.
And the final episode, episode 8. Episode 7?
I think it was one largely focused on 11. Keep in mind, I haven't watched this. This is just from reading things and seeing a general consensus reaction that a lot of people are like, I don't like that episode, but someone wrote a really good essay about how you got to trust, and that's clearly setting up stuff for season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, just really quickly, how good are those the child actors
or
teenage actors? They can convey stuff in close-ups. You just think, they're so good.
And that becomes even more evident as the season rolls on.
Nice.
With young Will.
Will is phenomenal.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till the rest of the season rolls out. It is amazing.
Is he the kid that was in it?
I believe it is, Tom.
I didn't know that.
Mm.
A few of them have popped up different places. Dunstan?
He's
a Broadway actor.
Yeah, he's amazing as well. And he has a lot of fun with his role. And his lisp. God, love him.
He's really good.
Love that lisp.
He kind of reminds me a little bit of Corey Feldman back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got that feel to him where the majority of that is talent.
Mm.
Yeah, you
he's
know.
He's born with it.
Yeah.
He's born with it. It's in his genes, you can tell. But geez, what a bloody show. In episode 3 and 4, it really freaked me out. I had trouble sleeping after watching that.
Well, because you sort of gave me the heads up on those two, I watched them during the day. And then went and did stuff.
And how did you go with it? Did you find it quite as equally as disturbing?
I'll say that I saw...
When he was inhaled?
Yeah, that was... I'll say that I saw something telegraphed early in the season. I think episode 1, I went, no, I'm not going to like something that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it.
Mm.
And then I wondered...
Was that someone dying?
Was someone.
Mm.
Anyway.
You could see it coming.
I could see it coming from a mile off.
Yeah.
And I just love seeing, well, we mentioned this last episode, but Winona Ryder, Sean Astin, you've got Paul Reiser.
Michael Modine, he's in it.
Oh, now.
He was the dodgy police commissioner before Jim Gordon in the Nolan Dark Knight trilogy.
Right. He was, yes.
Mm.
That's a deep pull.
Papa.
Mm. But, Papa. But, it gets even more interesting as it rolls on. It is amazing. Well done, people at Stranger Things. But Winona Ryder, just going back to Winona, it's good to see that a lot of these actors are getting their second wind through a platform like Netflix. She was huge, but it's almost like she has become... In this show, she's in her element. There's an intensity that you cannot stop watching her when she's talking to her son and about her son and trying to get her son help. There's just this intensity in her eyes that connects with you. You can't get away from it. She's incredible.
She's frightened. She's...
She projects the fear.
Yeah, but also they both project this amazing connection that this mother and son have, which I think it was shown to us in season one, but because of the fact that you didn't see much of Will in season one, the fact that you do see him in this, it becomes obvious that this connection is super real and it's more than most mother and sons would have. And I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, she gets her boy.
Now you got to wait a whole year, Ash.
Mm.
Not fair.
No, it's not fair.
Tom, what sort of weird TV pick have you got for us this week? I remember Animal Cribs.
Yep.
What have you got this week?
This week I'm very excited for Psych, the movie. So there's a show I love called Psych. It's been off the air for about 4 years now or something like that, and there were 8 seasons. It's about a guy growing up, his parents divorced, and his father was a lead detective. So his father trained him to be hyper-observant. He's also very ADHD, a little bit OCD, and a pop culture junkie. And he and his best friend basically... stumble onto a crime scene and decide to start helping the cops. And because he won't train to be a detective, he decides instead to pretend he's a psychic detective.
That's great.
So the it's a very funny, you know, it's a dramedy. It's
Isn't
mainly
it
a comedy.
Hour-long sort of?
Hour-long show. Yep. It was coupled with Monk back in the day.
Right, yeah.
And they go around solving ridiculous cases.
Perfect.
So there's ones where they had to blend in with a barbershop quartet. there's ones where there's... a polar bear mauls a keeper to death at the zoo and they have to prove that it was murder by a human.
Oh, wow.
They had a 2-hour musical episode.
Of course they did.
Where everyone sings and dances. And they bring in huge 80 stars to play small roles and 90 stars. So for one season, Sean, the main character, his girlfriend is Rachel Lee Cook, who you might remember from She's All That.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was in Babysitter's Club as well, if memory serves. Yeah, say really hello to your friends. You don't need to pretend with us, Ash.
Anyway, so the show's been off for a couple of years and they've brought it back and they're doing Psych the movie on for us December 7th over in the States December 6th.
Oh, so on the weekend?
Yes.
Cool.
And it's going to be epic fun. I'm really excited. It has some of the tightest comedy writing on any sort of dramedy show.
If you want to watch it with us... And we'll get back to you next week. If you've got any questions or comments, make sure you send them to We Are Watchers.
Come on, Facebook. Son.
Go on the Facebook page.
Watch the show and then we can make fun calls to each other and I can tell Ash to suck it.
We got a couple of emails.
We did?
Wow.
Actually, no, that's a lie. We got one email and we got one Facebook private message.
That's a good start.
It's not bad,
though. Hang on a second. It might be a good start, but they're both complaints, aren't they?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's surprising.
Not at all. Do you remember last week I was talking about Silver Spurs, but I couldn't get the name right, and I was saying Tinkerbell, and I'm going, this is not quite right.
Yeah.
We got, by the way, Tinkerbell is from Peter Pan,
yep,
by J.M. Barrie, and then, of course, immortalized by Walt Disney, immortalized for another generation of moviegoers, and, of course, it was in Hook.
Yep.
That's from Abby, so thanks, Abby, for
and it was,
clarifying
that. What's her name? Redhead. Roberts.
Julia.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, Julia Roberts. Was Tinkerbell. Well, and I think I felt like Kylie in Moulin Rouge,
yes,
was supposed to be Tinkerbell there as
which
well.
She's the green fairy.
Yeah.
That's how they got how they got around that.
Slight technicality. This was through the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
It was from Fran saying, can you do a Christmas episode mentioning amazing Christmas specials or movies, old and new, only if Ash approves, of course, but it is after December the 1st, so it should be okay.
Yes.
Ah, someone's been listening. Thank you. Yes, you may drop the C-bomb now.
I'm so down with the Christmas episode.
We should do one maybe next week or two, just do nothing but Christmas.
Okay,
stuff.
Christmas specials.
Yeah, that'll give us time to do studying.
Yeah.
And remembering super obscure Christmas specials from TV shows.
But isn't it funny? Australian TV never really got into the Christmas special.
Not
There's
really.
Never been a Home and Away Christmas special.
Because I feel like they're not really ever on. They've
That's
done
right.
their
they
cliffhanger
wrap up.
By then.
They generally wrap up end of ratings period in late November.
I'm not saying, well, you don't have to shoot it at Christmas. No. You know, you can put Alf in a fucking Santa suit in July if you like and then air it at Christmas. Come on, Channel 7. There's a great, or a Neighbours Christmas special.
Good point.
Carol's by Candlelight. They're all the Home and Away people at that anyway.
They are. They're all taken.
Georgie Parker has been there.
Along with the non-winning contestants of Australian Idol.
For 30 years. Yeah, it's her and Paulini. Ash, you've got a new little segment coming up next week, which I'm really looking forward to. And we've kind of been throwing out hints about it on the Facebook page, but we've been doing Christmas editions.
Is this the one that we've called codename Ash Flash?
That's it.
Yeah.
And I'm done.
It's the Ash Flashback.
Ash Flashback. My goodness, that is... We're
Did you think I meant getting your dong out?
I thought he meant
Because I can see you preparing a bit of dick neck to reveal.
There was no need for the hand gesture then, but...
We are already nude.
We need a jingle for this. Maybe a bit of flash, like...
Ashes of the universe.
Yeah. The whole segment is essentially just going to be about flashbacks. Flashbacks of shows that just pop into my head every now and then. Shows that'll be covered, for example, things like Manimal. We'll have a chat about Manimal next week.
That's getting some little bits of electricity and sparks in my brain going.
I know.
Oh,
but
vague
it's funny.
Recollection.
A lot of people remember it. But it was never really that popular. A strange little storyline too, and some interesting stories behind that. So we'll look a little bit deeper into the shows that were big hits in the 80s and 90s, I guess, and the ones that weren't so much so. Because let's face it, the 80s was full.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the experimentation.
Can we talk
period
about Sequest DSV? They had a talking psychic dolphin.
They did.
And we'll do some Aussie ones as well. We'll do some Aussie ones.
There's
like,
a lot of Aussie ones.
Oh, do you remember Stookie? Stookie, always ready to take a chance.
I remember that. What about Metal Mickey? Was English.
Oh, I don't. What about Sweet and Sour?
Round the Twist.
Oh,
Round,
that was good.
Don't get that fucking theme song in my head.
Have
Too
you
late?
Ever?
Don't.
I don't need to do
Please.
It.
Please.
He's just asking a question. Have you ever?
Fucking Bronson licking toadstools.
Okay, we're looking forward to it. We've got so much coming up in the next few weeks.
We sure do.
Including Christmas, New Year.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of stuff we're going to make Ash do.
A lot on.
Do you know, can I just say one last thing that's excited me this week? I found out that Taco Bell has reopened up near Brisbane.
Oh.
So I'm considering a road trip to go and buy cheap tacos.
There was something Taco Bell used to do. Was it the little cinnamon chips?
Yep.
They used to, oh, they were good.
Well, only had them for about 11 months in Australia because it's weird. In the States, Taco Bell shares space with Pizza Hut because they're owned by the same company.
But over here,
they were shared with KFC because over here, KFC and Pizza Hut at that time were closely aligned.
Mm.
So you could go to KFC and get a bit
KFC
of chicken and a bit
or
of taco.
Jack's?
It was KFC, and that makes sense because there used to be a Taco Bell near where I live, but for years it's now been KFC.
Mm-hmm. So it was a combined shared space. And basically they tried to push into the Australian market and they went way too hard in the same way that Krispy Kreme did and just cannibalised themselves. So it didn't work. But
and now we're all into Mexican food, and I'm using that term loosely when I refer to Taco Bell.
Oh, I love Taco Bell because I don't love spicy gear, and they will give you real plain meat.
Love a bit of plain meat.
Plain meat.
I've had it over in the US. It's super cheap too.
You go in there and you're like, I've got $1.14, and they're like, here's a tray full of food.
Yeah. American in their food.
Oh, I'm hungry now.
Melted American.
I'm always hungry, Ash.
Do you want to go for lunch?
Let's go and eat food.
Can I just have a bowl of melted orange cheese?
I'll just get you a plate of plain meat. Tube steak.
I like a cold cut. I love a cold meat. We had some Christmas festivities on Sunday and I'd smashed a lot of ham. No fucking pineapple.
Lucky you.
I'd like to give a shout out to my brother Cam because he listens to this show.
Hey Cam.
Hey Cam. And yeah, I know he doesn't listen to Walking Dead and we've talked a lot about you before. And that's all I'll say.
Oh yeah. We have.
Yeah. Just
Ash keeps bringing it up every now and then.
He does. He likes to stir me up because no pineapple.
G'day Cam.
G'day Cam. Good on you, Cam.
Good on you, Cam.
Ash, I want to say thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Tom, I want to thank you for being here as well.